So we see here two things. Number one, the devil is a murderer. So Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. The devil was a murderer, and he says he was a murderer from the beginning. And we see that when he came into Adam and Eve's life, he instigated sin in Adam and Eve's life. And we know that the Bible says that sin begets death. The wages of sin is death. So he was a murderer even when it came to Adam and Eve. And it's been the same throughout history. And any murder that's been involved throughout history, he is involved in. Because he is a murderer from the very beginning. He's good at it. And he's good at promoting others to commit murder. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. And praise God, resurrection day is coming. Resurrection day is coming, praise the Lord. The power of God is coming. And it's going to defy death. The devil who came to destroy, going to show him who's boss. But it also says here that when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is a liar. So Jesus has come to take the lies that you and I have grown up with, even about ourselves, about the things, it might be that we are worthless, or it might be a lie that the devil worked in us through. It might be an abusive situation or a dysfunctional home or all those kinds of things. Jesus has come to take those lies and turn them around so that we'll be able to see the way God sees us. We'll be able to see ourselves the way God sees us. We'll be able to see the creation that God meant in you and I. He came to turn that thing around. And if we'll let him, he'll do it. Now, one of the first things that he wants to do in order turning that around, if you and I are in a situation where we've taken on some attitudes about ourselves even because of our dysfunctional upbringing, I'll put it that way. The very first thing that we have to do is recognize and take ownership of the effect of the dysfunction has had on us. And then repent for our ungodly reaction to the dysfunction or injustice that was done toward us. Now, that's a hard one for a lot of people to get a hold of. But until we repent for our ungodly reactions to the injustice, we'll not be taken ownership. And when we don't take ownership, we'll always have the attitude, it's somebody else's problem. It's not mine. It's somebody else's problem. Ross comes up to me, and for no reason, he comes up and whacks me across the face. He does that. I get up, take a 2x4, and flatten them. And you might, well, I had a right to. What did he hit me for? But what about my ungodly reaction to his injustice toward me? What about that? Am I just going to let that go and say, well, that was okay because I hit him with a 2 because he hit me first? Well, that's not the way it is in the kingdom. I need to repent for my ungodly reaction. If someone rips me off and I get even with them, I have to repent for my ungodly reaction to his injustice. If we'll do that, God will take the lies that we've developed in our lives and turn them around, and we'll be able to see truth and reality. If we'll recognize that we too are guilty. When we have an injustice done to us, we too are guilty, most likely, for our reaction toward it. Even when it comes, I'm looking for love, and nobody's given it to me. Even when it comes to that, folks, if we begin looking for love in other places, and God says, I've got more love for you than you can possibly handle. Just look to me. And so we need to repent and go then to the Father. Repent for looking to man to receive the love that it can only come from God. Repent for looking to someone else or have our needs met in order then for God. So the devil is a liar, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So lying is a work of the devil, so Jesus came to destroy liars. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the truth. And when we get Jesus, that begins to destroy all the lies that the devil worked in our lives. Let's look at another work of the devil. Found a good demonstration of it is found in Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. That spirit there speaks to us that there was demonic activity that was keeping this woman in a place of infirmity. She was in that situation for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him and said, Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it for 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath? Jesus declared that this woman was suffering as a result of demonic activity, that sickness and disease was a result of the work of the devil. It has come from him. It's not from God. The end of sickness and disease, the desired goal, or the progress of sickness and disease is meant for death. It's meant to be death. And Jesus has come to stop that, turn it around, destroy the works of the devil, bring health, healing, and wholeness to the body. He has come that you and I can walk in health and healing. Jesus declared, he said, it should not this woman whom Satan has bound. Satan is the author of sin, sickness, and disease. He's the one, the father of sin and the mother of sickness. If Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, then he destroyed sickness and disease. Matthew 8, 16 and 17 demonstrates this. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself bore our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. It has been declared before Jesus ever came that he was the one. He would bring healing. He would destroy sickness and disease. He was the one who was going to pay the price for everything that hindered mankind from enjoying the fullness of what God wanted. And another thing, Jesus also came to destroy poverty. And when you look at the nations of the world that are in poverty today, Jesus is the answer for them. It's not that there's a lack of food upon the world, there's a lack of distribution problem, that everybody in the world could be fed, and the poverty-stricken nations are a result of the work of the devil. And it's not God's design. The answer is the invasion of God's kingdom into those nations. The fullness of God's kingdom. Thank God for salvation. Thank God that people will receive the message of salvation. But salvation includes everything. It includes healing. It includes prosperity. It includes divine health. It includes emotional health. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, Jesus came as a babe in a manger. And unfortunately, many Christians even still see him as a babe in a manger. I want you to think about this for a moment. If they'd only look at Jesus and they recognize, even as a baby, and recognize that that's God. That's man, but it's God too. But think of this for a moment. You know, in the struggle against abortion, all kinds of things that have been said about abortion, but I want us to think about something, that the fetus in the womb of a woman is not potentially a human being. The unborn child in the woman is a human being with great potential, with awesome potential. It's not going to be a human being. It is a human being. When Jesus came as a babe in a manger, he's not going to be, even as a babe in a manger, the Savior. He is the Savior of the world with great potential. He fulfilled his potential. He fulfilled all that he was called to do. He was born, came into this world through the womb of a woman. He was treated as a child from the very time he was born. He lived the life of a man that God originally designed man to live, without sin, being connected to the Father all the time. And he lived out his full progression, his life, his full potential to become the Savior of the world. And he became just that. Glory to God. Now the question is, God has made you and me, and he has made us with great potential. Are we living up to our potential? You know that God has, we have the potential of being used by God to be the deliverer for somebody else. What do I mean by that? God's power can move through you and I in order to set other people free. We have the potential for God to speak through us the same way as he did through Jesus in order to bring life and life to more abundantly. God has designated you and I. He has anointed you and I. He has marked you and I to be a demonstration, a distribution of his glory. You and I are called to distribute the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place we go. That's our potential. Our potential is there. Are we doing anything to fulfill our potential? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we, first of all, filling our homes with the presence of God? Are we doing everything we can to show God that he is welcome in our home? Start there, folks. Are we doing everything we can? In fact, if somebody came into your home, would they know that Jesus is welcome here? Would the environment be so saturated with the presence of God that they'd know that there's something different about your home? You see, that can happen. We can do that. We can come to the place where we know anybody that takes a look at us, anybody enters into our home and say, hey, this is different. This is not like the last place I was in where they were arguing and fighting and going on. There's peace in this home. Glory to God. Now, there's some things that we may not have authority over when we go into certain stores and so forth, but we do have authority in our homes. We do. And we choose who we invite into our home, to whom we open the door to. Either the influence of the devil and the terrors of the world, or the influence of the Holy Spirit to come. So, Holy Spirit, we so desperately want you here. We know that you have all the answers. We know that you meet every need, including the need I have and desire I have to be a joyful person. Some people will be going to a different spirit to get joy this year. They'll find it in a bottle, and they'll begin to get out of the natural realm a little bit by tipping the bottle, because they have a hole in there that has a desperate need. You and I have found the answer to that need. Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ forever. The devil knew that this little baby that was born, that he had the potential of being the Savior of the world. He knew that he had the potential of delivering people. Why? I sense that he knew because he knew that there was this little child, he's seen it somewhere, and somehow there was something different about it. There was no sin in it whatsoever. There was nothing in Jesus that the devil could relate to whatsoever. So he just kind of was baffled by it. And so what did he do? Because he knew the potential of a sinless man was far more than what he could handle. So he immediately devised a plan to kill Jesus. And we know about the story, you know, when Herod sent the enemy to kill babies under 2 years old, was in Bethlehem. I mean, Jesus was safe at that time, but that was the goal, was to kill the Messiah, to stop him before it got any worse. Now listen, you have a potential to be used by God to be the mouthpiece of God, to speak life into other people. Now, God knows that, you know that, and the devil knows that. And the devil tried to kill Jesus to stop him, and he'll try to kill you too. He'll try to kill anybody that's a potential deliverer. He'll try, and this is why it's so important for you and I to make sure we've invited the right spirit into our home. Because there's an enemy, a foe arrayed against us, who will try to put us away. He will try to stop us from fulfilling our full potential. That should call us to holy living. That should call us to a place of holiness, of seeking after God. And the good part about this is that when I say that should call us to holy living, that should call us to living for the kingdom of God, that should call us to keeping our eyes on things above and not on things of the earth, it should call us to seeking first His kingdom. All of that is wonderful, and the reason why is because the King is not a hard taskmaster. He's not. The King is saying, He's putting all these things in front of us to say, if you will live like this, you will have the greatest joy that you could possibly have upon the earth. If you will stay away from the things of the world that would give instant gratification and possibly give a happiness for a short period of time, if you will stay away from those things, I will bring you into the fullness of joy. I will bring you into the place of our everlasting joy. Even if it seems like sacrifice today, when it's all said and done, it won't appear to be a sacrifice to you at all. Because it'll be for your good. Jesus came to save the world. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to bring us life and life more abundantly. When you see the baby in the cradle, just look at that and say, oh, wow. He fulfilled His potential. Look at the potential in that. The potential came and increased. Now, I want you to know, as a body of believers, we've got great potential running into 2012. Praise God. I know that some of the world is looking at the year 2012 as the year of destruction of the earth. I don't believe it's the year of destruction at all. It can be the church's greatest hour. The church's greatest influence, running into 2012 with great hope, with great joy, with great potential. I believe we're going to see some things happen in 2012. It's going to stir our spirit. Will we look back and say, wow, what a year. What a year. Look what the Lord has done. Praise the Lord. One of the things I believe, God is going to increase His anointing upon us. In the name of Jesus. He's gotten me praying recently around being sensitive to a greater degree to the realm of the Spirit, to tap into that. And I believe that we're going to walk into that in a new level than what we've seen in to this point. And we've had ebbs and flow of the Holy Spirit moving amongst us over the years. I want to take off in 2012 and that heading up and not slowing down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shela Baba Sondo. Stand up. Stand up, please, and let's worship God for a moment here. Praise Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. Glory to God. Praise You, Father. Thank You for the potential in Jesus. Thank You, Father, that we have so much potential. Janice, would you come up here, please? The Lord's got a word for you. I'm just trying to stay in tune to the Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your grace. Praise You. That's what I hear the Lord saying. That I've worked in you for some time, and that I've seen the potential that I've put in you. And that potential is yet to be lit on fire to the degree that the blaze will be seen in a greater measure. The blaze will be seen by others. They've seen a change in you to this point of the undoing of what the enemy has done in your life. But He says, now I'm going to take you to the place to show everybody what I'm doing The enemy did some things, and I've undone them. Now I'm going to do some things in your life that'll bring you to a place where you'll glorify him in a greater measure, and that others will be able to see, look what the Lord has done. And people will begin to take notice that if God did in you what they see, that possibly they'll do it in him too. And they'll begin to turn around and run to Jesus instead of run away from him. Father, I thank you for your potential that you have worked in Janice right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I praise you, Father, for your anointing that will help her to be able to release all that you have done in her in Jesus' name. And I ask, dear God, for an increase of that anointing to be upon her, Father, in such a way that it'll go from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in the midst of all of what you're doing within her in Jesus' name. Fill her, Father, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.